I had probably always the best night I've ever had last night in Westminster.
Yeah.
That's just singing your praises there, because I was chatting to Steve Rhodes, who was the Vice President of the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association. He came up to me, he says, "Don't I know you?" I says, "Yeah. We've met before, haven't we?" I says, "Yeah. We met in Sheffield." And he threw his arms around and gave me the biggest hug I've ever had, and I was on there because he didn't hug anybody else in there. But how this, the evening works is, first we have a service which is very much like what we do here,
yeah,
in the Palace of Westminster, House of Parliament. It's all singing, praying out loud, and a speaker gives a message like it was in. And after it's over, we go across the road into... this is optional, because there's about 200 in the chapel, but there's about 30 of us go across the road into party headquarters, and we have it set out like question time.
Yeah.
A table up there with... he's on it, and Collins on it, who you met, you know. And then everybody else has sat in chairs, and he gives a message, and people ask him questions, you know. Anyway, when we're talking to me personally, they're asking me about what church I go to. I said, "Well, I'm involved in several churches," because he'd been saying in his earlier message that a lot of churches are not alive anymore, they're just formality.
Yeah.
And he asked me, "Are any of those churches alive?" I said, "Well, one of them is, isn't the Doncaster one is." And then got chatty, and one thing led to another, and he gave me his card and asked me to send him an email to remind him where he met me. And he said he would like to get to know you. So he gave me his card and maybe we could get to know him.
Yeah.
It starts to explain that in America, 50 pastors are leaving ministry every day. He said, I got on the plane this morning, I flew over here from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I've been into town, into London, and I've been to my hotel, I've had a bit of meat, and I've come here. And he said, in that time, 50 pastors have resigned in America.
Wow.
It happens every day, so it's 15,000 a year. And he says, it's a different game to what it used to be over there. And I says, you ask a pastor to gauge the success of their ministry. He came up with 5 criteria, I'm not sure I can remember them all. One of them's the size of the building,
yeah,
the number of the congregation, mm-hmm, how much money they've got, mm-hmm, coming in,
yeah,
and the two others I can't remember. He says, but it's never how many people get saved or how many get baptised.
No.
He says, they just like to be seen as superstars or rock stars. And so if they're not getting this glory as rock stars or superstars, then they're resigning and leaving it and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. Anyway, he obviously went on to go about and about Billy Graham. Well, they'll call him Mr. Graham now, you know, he's getting a lot of respect. And he said, Billy Graham, he says, he doesn't even know he's Billy Graham. He's the most humble man on this planet.
Wow.
He says, you go around our offices, and the pictures where he's met Elvis Presley, with the President Reagan and Kennedy and Boris Yeltsin and all these other, everybody, with anybody around the world. And he said, he's such a humble man, is it? Beautiful, you know. It's a fantastic meeting, you know.
No, 30 odd years ago, I got invited to the South Yorkshire District of Assemblies of God Ministers, and they used to meet every so often.
Mm.
And when I went to those meetings, I just used to watch and listen from the sidelines, really. I was just a youth leader when I went along. And very often, the first question that ministers asked each other, if they were meeting each other for the first time or hadn't seen each other for a while, and how many have you got in your congregation? How big is your church? And that was the question then. It wasn't about, you know, what is God doing in the place? Happy being healed and saved. It's just, how many have you got?
He was asking me if I could give him any guidelines as to why it's so difficult to bring people to God in Sheffield. He says, toured all around the United Kingdom. Here's easy. London's easy.
Mm.
Bristol's easy. Sheffield and Hull, it's hard work. He said, I just don't know what's that. I said, well, quite frankly, South York, well, Yorkshire in general is known as the least Christian county in Great Britain. Mm. I don't know why it is, but it is, and I've heard it officially. So I think we stand out in that environment. You know, we're surrounded by churches that are just routine people go and go through a process and then come home and they've not actually been fed anything, not received anything, not developed. They've not got born again, they've not got saved. They've just said, well, I'm a church goer, I go to church, and that's it. So they sing a hymn and say a prayer, and well, they don't say a prayer, they sit in the presence of somebody who's playing through a microphone at the front.
I think that, one of the things that we have to, as a church, reconsider is that the way a church becomes powerful in the area and in its ministry is through prayer. In prayer there is power. Power comes through people in prayer. Jesus, when he was feeling worn down, wearied by the experiences, wearied by the people, what did he do? He withdrew himself. What did he do when he withdrew himself? He didn't go to sleep. He went to pray. So prayer is the empowering factor for every church, and we have got to step up to that some more. We've backed off a bit. We need to step back up to that. We need to move forward in that, because God has put us here after 17 and a half years for a reason. And that is not to sit idly by, but it is now to step up to the plate, step up to the position that He's given us. In fact, with what Grace has been sharing tonight, there's some verses of Scripture that have jumped out to me, and I'm like, I'm going to preach on that on Sunday.
Praise God.
Praise the Lord.
And it is, it will come on, it will be part of this subject. That, you know, we have to now step up to this, and we have to move forward, and we have to carry people with us, and we have to put, again, it's always putting Jesus right at the front. It's not a man. It's not a man that stands at the front. Billy Graham's ministry didn't really stand on Billy Graham. His name was the thing that carried it, that opened the doors, but it was the results of the movement of the Holy Spirit bringing people to Christ that carried the ministry.
It was God's work.
His name opened the door in one sense, but the, you know, his name's no good without the effects of the Holy Spirit working on people's lives, and thousands and thousands of people year after year being saved. And same thing applies with us.
I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And he says also, unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain that build it. So it cannot be man's programmes. It cannot be man's way. The only way it's going to grow is through prayer. And I was reading, I'm sorry to interrupt, I've just got this to say, but I was reading the Baptist, Bentley Baptist Church diary thing, and it said on there that the church has grown dramatically because of one thing: they've prayed. And they pray, I think, nearly four mornings a week. But it's the prayer they know has done it, and it's gone. Unless the Lord builds the church.
It's listening to Christ, isn't it? Listen to you pray on what He says to you. You can't,
but coming
to
together and calling in the north, south, east, and west. Coming in and binding the spiritual forces in the heavenly realms that are operating, making the area hard.
You see, there are spiritual forces in Yorkshire.
There are.
And it's been, and it was driven as well through the mining industry.
Was,
driven through the steel industry. And I'll tell you what, they blame Margaret Thatcher for bringing them down, you know. But I'll tell you what, God was behind all of this, because he's bringing them to their knees. And I mean, you can't say that openly to people, because they'll be embittered by that. But the principle is that God will bring a nation or a part of a nation to its knees till they acknowledge their need of God. You see, when you look at you know, the Wesleys and that, there was never great revivals in Yorkshire.
No.
It's always been a hard, hard, hard place.
Mm.
And I've lived here in Yorkshire all my life. I've ministered all my life in Yorkshire. And there has been times when I've prayed, Lord, when are you going to take me out of Yorkshire?
Mm.
Because I, for years, have said, Yorkshire is a desert.
Mm.
Doncaster is a desert. But the Lord said to me that he will run rivers through the desert.
It will.
Amen.
And the Lord told me three times, through the Word of God, dig a well.
Yeah.
And dig a well of freedom. And so there will come a breaking, there will come a harvest, but there's some watering to be done.
Mm.
Well,
and the watering's with prayer.
Yeah.
Take the white rose of Yorkshire. For that to bloom, it's going to be pruned.
Yeah.
It's going to be taken right back.
Yeah.
So that it can start again to bloom.
And I think, you know, Jesus was known as the Rose of Sharon.
It was.
A white rose. You know, there is some rebellion. There's a grip that the enemy has over Yorkshire to prevent it coming to Christ.
Mm.
You know, there are great men who have come, and women who have come out of Yorkshire and gone to be missionaries.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your Wigglesworth. Powerful ministry. The Wesleys. Powerful ministry. You know, they birthed a movement of the Methodists and the Western Reformers, etc. You've got
not a Barnes, but they went to China.
What's his name?
Hudson Taylor.
Yeah. Went to China from Barnsley. They told him we weren't capable. So he went. Didn't listen to them. You know, one of the greatest missionary works that was ever birthed. And because of that, the underground church is powerful in China, and China's changing.
Mm-hmm.
And he lost all his family in China because of China.
Mm-hmm.
And did C.T. Studd go as well to China? Can't remember, but you know, great missionaries left our nation, but particularly from Yorkshire, there are some great missionaries that went out. And
where did Livingstone come from?
Oh,
he was Scotland.
And you see, I think, you know, we need at times. I was with David Womersley, and he was born in Congo.
Yeah.
He's white. His parents were missionaries out in Congo, left England, went to the missionaries, and he was born out in Congo. He was educated back in England, sent to boarding school, etc. Some of his education was in England. And he then carried on to be a missionary. And he's still a missionary for Congo Zaire, because he's still working for the same mission organisation. He's in the process of writing a book. His life has been totally dedicated to Africa.
Mm.
And we were talking last night, because I went and stayed with him last night. And we were talking a little bit, and he was sort of saying that there's not really a lot happens these days in the churches for missions. I said, no. I said, there are literally no missionaries come around, because the churches are not interested in missions.
No.
They're not interested in things abroad for some reason. There's little interest in it.
Mm.
And if you don't, I mean, at one time, it was every 2 months, you'd have a missionary coming round on furlough, going around through the churches, and they'd share the stories of what God was doing and what they'd had to put up with.
Mrs. Jukes' daughter, was it?
Yeah, she is.
She's not a missionary.
There's none of that now, you see. And I know the mission, to some degree, has changed, but the fact is, the commission for missions work has not changed, right? Which is go out into all the world and preach the gospel, heal the sick and raise the dead. So the actual statement that Jesus made is still out there. So it's still out there for us to be doing. So it hasn't changed to the church. The church needs now to awaken itself, because we've become so program orientated and insular with what we're going to do, and it's like, is that what God's doing?
No.
I mean, you all know that Grace and I went out to Africa this last month or so, and not so much of a mission in one sense, but as I look back at it now, it was because we discovered a place in a town that we were told it didn't exist.
Mm.
A place for abandoned babies that can take some support, that is doing the job already. And, you know, we exposed a lie and a deceit whilst we were out there elsewhere. So we went out with a two-edged sword, and we used both edges of it.
Oh, no.
And you know, that's not a boast, it's just the fact that that's part of my ministry, and I have to learn to put up with that and do it. And but at the same time, God gave us opportunities and opened things up for us. But we've got to keep the spirit of the Great Commission alive.
Yeah. You need to sow if you're going to reap.
Yeah,
absolutely.
If we sow into somebody else's field, God will sow into ours. He'll bring us a harvest back to him.
We're here now. And part of it is because of the way we as a church have given in the past into missions work.
Mm.
And we're here at the price that we've been given because of that.
Mm.
Because we've already paid the bill,
mm.
for want of a better word. We've put the down payments up early.
Mm.
We've been paying for this place before we ever got it.
Mm.
We've been stepping out in faith and doing as God has told us to do. We've been giving as God has told us to give, not as we wanted to give, as God told us to give.
Mm.
And that's a different.
Mm.
You know, you can come and some people say, oh, we can't afford to give. You cannot afford not to give. And we always look, we'll check at the end of our financial year, what have we done on missions work? Is the question I ask, isn't it? What have we done? And if we haven't done it, if we've somehow missed it, or there's nothing appeared to have come up right in front of our faces, well, we need to do something about this.
Mm.
Because as a church, we're not here to hoard the money. We are to be responsible and find the right place to place the finances and see that finance does the work that God intends it to do. So we're good stewards of the finance, but we're certainly not here to sit around and hoard it. And so God has blessed us in such a way because of that format that we've taken. Because in the end, it has to be God first and only Him.
It is.
And as we honour Him, He said He will honour us.
Mm-hmm.
And it is tremendous to see how God has moved in such a way. And we're just on the verge.
Yeah.
There's a bigger wave coming.
We're probably all here to serve and ministry.
Exactly.
I sometimes wonder if God put me in Yorkshire for a specific purpose that I haven't fulfilled yet.
Of course He put you in Yorkshire.
I never wanted to come here.
No.
Of course He put you in Yorkshire. Number one, you're in Yorkshire to be here outside of us.
And when I came here, I always wanted to go back, but I never did come back. So there must be something for it.
Of course there is.
Yes, He's got a plan.
Part of it was that you were to get saved.
Yeah, that's true.
And the other part is that, you know, you're serving alongside us.
Mm-hmm.
And you're doing a great work.
You're linking as well.
And you're linking with people.
I've I'm getting best of both worlds here because I'm living in Yorkshire, but I'm still gleaning from London.
Yeah.
Look how many churches in that area.
At the moment, I know you've said to me, do you want to go? And I've said, I do want to go, but every time there's something on.
Yeah. I think it's a real shame that I can't encourage anybody from here to go because you belong there. If you ever went in there, you think, this is where I belong.
Well, I mean, I know people that go there, don't I?
Yeah, do.
You know, so I mean.
Yeah, from Carpenter's.
Yeah, Carpenter's House.
I'm not seeing her. I've only seen her once.
Well, they're all, at the moment, they're all up to the neck in it.
Yeah.
I'd love to go.
So it's.
Not stopping it.
Anyway, it's something to.
It's finding your way, driving on
it's
the
something
hour.
To, it's something to work on. But, you know. The thing is, we focus on, first of all, home and then Jerusalem Judea and then the utter parts of the earth. And we have to make sure that we get the base right, functioning right, people involved, moving forward, growing sections, and prayer is the important key to it all.
It's the foundation.
And without prayer, the people perish. It'll just die. Yeah. It withers. You know, it withers on the vine, basically. Mm. The fruit wither on the vine. You know, these guys that are coming through from drugs and that, the only thing that's going to bring them through is prayer. And a relationship that develops through prayer with God. And the devil, the first thing the devil interferes with is your prayer life. He'll give you as much hassle, or he'll give you as many things to distract you from prayer life as he can, because that is your, it's the equivalent of you having a meal. You gain your physical energy from food, right? You gain your supernatural energy from prayer, right? And so if he can get you to miss out on prayer, then guess what? You're going to be a Belson child, spiritually speaking. Can you understand what I'm saying? You know, I'm trying to put it in simple metaphors and terms, that you're going to be an emaciated spiritual person. Yeah, you go to church, but you go to church like a skeleton. And you've got nothing, you can't do anything, you fall asleep in church, you're just unable to get involved in it, you are not connected with what's happening. And the devil does not want you to be connected with anything that's happening in the things of God.
I think I don't know if the devil's involved here with this, but if you're physically in church but you're not focused on what's being said, then you're not in church.
No,
exactly.
I don't know, there's no easy way to say this really, but I find that on Sunday, like just gone, I don't know if you've seen the website, have you? Since
I haven't had a chance to go on this week.
I had to take everything that Daniel did out of it, because I cannot focus when there's that interpretation going on. Like what Grace was saying, he was on, and I'm just sat, and my mind wandered. I went around the world, I really did. So it's easier to take it out, which takes quite a long time on the editing. But I took it all out, and then I've got just Grace on one line. So if I listen to that, which I haven't done yet, if I listen from start to finish, then I should probably pick up. It's easier.
So that's something we're going to have to learn and fight through as individuals.
Are there many people who need this translation? Are we just talking one or two?
No, there are quite a few of them that need it at the moment in the church. And the only way we're going to overcome this is when we move into this next year and we begin to teach them, try and teach them English.
Yeah. On top of that, you've got the bouncing of goal sticks as well, you know, which it just takes your focus completely away from the message. You know, the only time I can follow the message is when I listen to the playback, because it's easier on recording. Yeah. It just temper that, it weakens that bouncing of goal sticks.
It's a rotten building for that.
Anyway, just one nice thing I heard last night as well. You've got to hear this one. Steve Rowley says, "What do you do for a living?" I said, "I'm retired." He said, "You are joking. You are not serious." I said, "Don't you remember when we were in Sheffield? We went round everybody and we all introduced ourselves. And I said, I think I'm the oldest one in the room." He said, "I didn't believe you then. I don't believe you now." You will be, won't you?
You're
better, you know.
Yeah,
you
are, because you've got
Jesus
in your face.
Yeah.
Well,
I'll be a couple. You're beautiful.
I'm going to do it today, and I couldn't be able to go out today.
Wait another day.
I got that from London, I thought I'll abstain.
I'll come with you to London now.
I will do that.
I will do.
Well, Edwin's been twice.
I'd love to go.
Yeah, he loved it. And he's so vociferously against anything conservative, but he still enjoyed that. So to me, it's not about politics.
No.
We don't discuss politics. It's about God.
Jesus.
It's about Jesus. Yeah, that's all it is.
Wonderful.
Yeah. Of course, we pray for other parties as well. We pray for Ed Miliband, just like we do for David Cameron.
He
needs
it.
Yeah.
Come to be a lot better if they work together instead of
photo. Yeah,
calling each other.
Why don't we bring the best and put it together and create the best? You know, that's what we've got to start doing instead of ripping.
Yeah.
Tearing. Pretty, pack something up back sometime.
Yeah. But just going back to God building his church, the verses that God gave me when we were as everything was beginning to come into place for here, and it did, it all happened. I was reading, we went to America just after that, and I was reading a lot in America, and every time I seemed to pick up the Bible, God was saying to me, it's my work, I'm going to build it, I'm going to bring them in. And so it tells me it's going to be founded on prayer and prayer alone, because we ain't going to do this, he's going to do it. Yeah. He's put us here because we've got the right spirit and we're his people, and he's going to use us powerfully, but it's him that's going to be doing, he's spearheading it all, and we need to be praying, listening, focused and following, but the work is his.
You see, the important thing is it's because you two are listening, aren't you? That's the most important thing.
I don't ever want us to be religious. I want it to be
listening to Christ,
real.
What he's telling, listening to what he wants us to do. So if we all do that, we need to all be praying for him.
And we have a good nucleus of people who are focused and want to see God work through us and for us and see this thing take off.
You see, you've got to remember that two other church groups were offered this building. And they turned it down. Well, the reason they turned it down is because it wasn't theirs.
So what?
It wasn't theirs. It already had an owner who was yet to be come in and possess. You know, I mean, we weren't even aware of it at the time. We only got to know about it at the beginning of May.
Yeah.
And it had been empty for 9-12 months. So it was a case of and you know the story. We should have been in Romania. And God said, you're not going. And I'm thinking, but I want to go. And Graham says, well, I'm going. So I said, all right, we'll go. We'll get planned to book tickets. Then he turns around and says, they messed me hours up at work, they messed me holidays up, can't go. So I thought, oh, that's great, isn't it? Now we're down to two. So I thought, well, we're going. And then I just had this check in my spirit, you're not going. So in the end, I didn't book tickets. I thought, we're not going. And yet I told Daniel we were going, and we didn't go. And then whilst the days that we were, early days, we were supposed to be in Romania, we get to know, make a phone call. Here we are.
it's listening
to God.
He directs our path.
And let him direct
you. And we're not aware of it sometimes.
No.
I know when obstacles have been put in your way and you think, oh, this is terrible, isn't it? You know, why is this happening? And,
but it's not.
You know,
yeah.
There's something coming. Yeah. But now I think about that.
What we've got to remember to do is focus on God, increase the prayer level. We've got to, you know, if you noticed, I put on that sheet this last Sunday, prayer, quarter to three. Yeah, I'm trying to begin to get people to go over on that right hand side and go and pray.
We need really to be in for about quarter past two, don't we? Get this all set up and then get into that section to pray.
Quarter past two, to be here for quarter past two.
Well, for us, I don't know. But, you know, if you're here for half past two and then get over there
and sort bits and pieces out. I know it's more commitment,
yeah.
But how committed is God to us?
Totally, and I'm sure.
He hung on a cross for you and for me. And you know, as the work grows, as he increases it, there are other people that come on, and we have to encourage these people to become involved.
Mm.
And we are going to face challenges that will stretch each and every one of us. And one of the challenges we're going to have to face is that we're going to have to somehow begin to help these Nepalese people, these ladies in particular, understand English. I mean, their spirit's going for it, but their ability to understand English is the thing that is holding them back. And so they've got this problem. And so, you know, what do we do? I'm going to bury his head and say I can't do it.
No,
or I'm just going to say, I'm going to address this and get on with it and do something somehow, some way.
Yeah, definitely.
And I know there's a programme that runs in Sheffield that teaches English to different nationalities. I've had a quick look at it and I thought, well, maybe I'll go across and sit in for a day and see exactly what they do.
Mm.
And maybe two or three of you ought to come along with me and sit in and watch.
Mm.
And we pick up some ideas and just say, well, you know, that is sponsored and run by the government in one sense to get government funding. And at the moment, I'm not necessarily looking to raise a profile where we've got to run 5 days a week running a language programme. But if we can steal ideas that are helpful and useful, then come on, let's get on and do it.
Mm.
You know, some of you got more talents. You know, I can't do everything. I know that. I've realised that. So, what does that mean? You know, I mean, we're trying to run the business down to sort of get it to a point where we can, you know, spend a lot less time in it. So we can be freer and more available to do what we need to do. You know, I could, you know, in one sense, I'm turning around, I'm saying I'm running a livelihood down so I can be a bit more available for the things of God. Because in the end, I know God will look after us.
Yeah.
So.
Much land to possess.
And there is much land to possess.
God will show us. The first thing we need to do is pray. God, they need to learn English. You sort it out. You raise up them that can do it. Show us the way forward.